You're listening to the Pastor's Podcast of Mission City Fellowship of San Antonio, Texas. Mission City Fellowship exists to make and mature disciples of Christ who live all of life for the glory of God and proclaim Christ for the joy of all people. You can find more resources like this one at missioncityfellowshipsa.org.
Welcome, church family, and everyone who may be listening to this podcast. This is Pastor Rob, and this is another episode in our podcast series on Christ-centered parenting. The intention and prayer of this series is to encourage and equip parents so that they can honor Christ in their parenting, and also to encourage them to rely on Christ as they parent. Before we go on to the new topic for today, back in the first podcast in this series, I mentioned a book, and I couldn't remember the author. I wanted to follow up on that book because it is a tremendous read that I think will help you as a parent understand some of the cultural forces that are coming against our children, that our children are going to have to deal with and have to have an answer for and have to know how to address. And I think it's not just coming after our children, it's really the church. And we've seen this already. None of this would be a surprise to you, but it's just a really, really good book. The name of the book is Strange New World: How Thinkers and Activists Redefined Identity and Sparked the Sexual Revolution. It's not a hard read. It's a very interesting read. The author of that book is Carl Truman. He's one of my favorite apologists and Christian thinkers today. I really like him a lot. Much of what he writes and much of what I see from him. Again, I think this is a worthwhile read for you. So hopefully that will serve you. I'm hoping to bring other resources or mention other resources that I think will help you. Getting back to today's topic. We've established in this series that our goal as Christian parents, our goal in Christ-centered parenting, is that our children walk in the truth. Well, ultimately, the Spirit of God must regenerate our children's hearts and awaken in them a love for the truth. Parents have a vital role in surrounding their children with the truth of God's word and surrounding our children with the reality of Christ's work, the gospel. When we do that, we are obeying what Ephesians 6:4 says. That tells us that we are to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We want our children to know the truth. We want our children to love the truth. We want our children to obey the truth, and we want our children to spread the truth. And our role in that is surrounding them with the truth. And there's many different ways. Last podcast, we began looking at practical ways we can bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We began by focusing not so much on what we verbally teach our children, but focusing on what they observe in us. It isn't just what they hear from us that matters. It is what our children see in us that counts. So the last podcast, we asked these series of questions. Do our children see that we walk in the truth? Do our children hear us confess our sin? Do we confess our sin against them? Do we confess the sin we commit in front of them? Do our children see us enjoying our relationship with God? That leads us to today, where we continue to ask more of those kinds of questions. Today we ask this question: what do our children witness in how we deal with other people? What do our children see in how we deal with other people? What do they see, for example, in how we treat an irrational neighbor? And we see examples of this all over the place, of people going ballistic over property lines and over because a ball went into their yard or because somebody's parking in front of their house. I mean, there's just all kinds of examples of this to various degrees of extremities of being extreme. How do our children see us treat other people and react to other people? Maybe how an overbearing boss, how do we talk about the boss when we come home? Maybe it's difficult relationships. Maybe what do they see in how we treat the rude waiter, or how do they see us treat our aging parents? Do they see a humble heart who is so aware of the grace that we've been given that it affects how we treat others? Or do they see arrogance and pride and hurt ego and whatever else may be? And tied to this is not just how do they see we treat other people, especially people who are difficult with us, but how do we talk about other people? Not just how we talk to them, but how we talk about them. What are our kids hearing from our mouths about other people? Do our words come from grace? Or are our words saturated with love and kindness? Are words like that of Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." There's so much going on in that just simple verse. It's talking about making sure we're careful what comes out of our mouths, corrupting talk. But there's also a situational awareness that he's talking about here, that we are able to speak things that fit the occasion. That means we have to know what the occasion is. We have to know, as I have a pastor friend of mine often says, you got to be able to read the room. But in that moment, are we saying words that build up, that it gives grace to those who hear? Are we giving grace? Are we imparting grace to our kids when we talk about other people who are difficult in our lives? Think about what it would be like if all Christians excelled at talking in this kind of way, building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. My grandfather was a pastor, as many of you probably have heard me talk about. He pastored for well over 60 years in various churches all over Central and South Texas. He went to be with the Lord a number of decades ago. And I was just thinking over the years, he was involved in many hundreds, maybe thousands of deacon meetings, of church business meetings. Had to deal with people with different opinions on what was important and different opinions on what was needed. And he pastored people who had differing agendas for the church. My mom told me in all the years she lived with her parents, 19 plus years, and all the time she was with them in their home after that, she never once heard her parents speak negatively about someone in the church. That's a little mind-boggling to me, because, you know, we like to vent. We like to just get things off our chests, so to say. But she never remembers hearing her parents. Listen, the point of this isn't just my grandfather's grace and patience and my grandmother's. The point is this, that his daughter noticed it and told her children many decades later. What do our children witness in how we deal with other people? Next question. What do our children see in how we respond to people who hurt us, reject us, or speak evil of us? You know, Jesus spent a lot of time trying to help his followers understand what is going to happen to them, why it's happening to them, and how we are to respond to it. And part of this gives me a little concern about what I see going on in our culture today and how Christians are responding. Jesus said, "You have heard it that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Are we able to stand in the love and acceptance and security and strength and wisdom of Christ and love others even when they would harm or reject or persecute us? Do our children hear us blessing others when we are being cursed by them? Do they watch us generously give even though other people are taking? This is the power of the gospel in us. This is walking in the truth of Christ's work. This is walking in obedience to what Christ said. Because of Jesus Christ, God loves us, accepts us, and we can offer the same to others. So do our children see us take seriously the love of enemies, the turning of the other cheek, going the extra mile? When we do this, the gospel is on display before our children. When we do this, we are walking in the truth of Christ's work for us, and our children are seeing that. So we're not just telling them to do this, they're observing it in our lives. What do our children see in how we respond to people who hurt us, reject us, or speak evil of us? Last for today's podcast, this question. Do our children find in us a heart that trusts Christ to take care of us? Do our children find in us a heart that trusts Christ to take care of us? Are we actively trusting the Lord and the kindness and the goodness of our Savior? Do our children see that we increasingly accept and build our lives upon Romans 8 that says, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Do they join in prayer with us about health concerns? Do they join with us? Do we bring them into praying for stresses maybe in family relationships? And I don't know of any family that doesn't have stresses, especially in the extended family. Are we bringing them in to help them see how we turn to the Lord and to help them turn to the Lord with us for frustrations in the workplace? Do they hear us worried about life and finances and the future, but not praying about it? Are we praying with them about the needs we have, the problems we face, the financial burdens? I just encourage you. I wish I had done this so much better. I just wish I had been more proactive in this, that we are actually would bring our children into praying for the needs of our home. And there, again, I think there needs to be an age appropriateness to this. But as they get older, again, I think just about everything becomes, you know, is free to be talked about and to be prayed for and mentioned. You know, a couple of years ago, our upstairs AC went out in a home we had just bought 6 months earlier. We called an AC company. They came out, said it was dead, and that a new one would be like $12,000, something like that. And of course, our emotions were just in turmoil. And hearing that amount, Terry and I, in a moment of God's grace, took each other's hands and committed it to the Lord. We asked God for wisdom. We asked God to provide what is needed. And we acknowledge that everything we have is actually His anyways. And the Lord provided an honest and skilled AC man to fix it about half the cost. I just use that to illustrate. Bring your kids into those moments like, hey, you know, the car needs repair. Let's ask the Lord to provide. Hey, you know, the dishwasher went out. Hey, you know, whatever it may be, we need a new whatever, or maybe it's even more personal. Like, hey, you know what? We're facing a medical test that may show some difficult things, a difficult diagnosis. You bring your kids into it. That you're praying with them before, you're praying with them through it, you're praying with them after, you're giving thanks for the Lord's goodness, you're giving thanks for His wisdom, and they're seeing this, they're watching this. Bring your kids into those prayers and into those conversations. Let them hear you ask God for your daily bread. And just think that Jesus taught us to pray that way. Pray for your daily bread. Pray for what you need in this world. Okay? And when we do this, our children see that we're turning to Christ. So, today we looked at what do our children witness and how we deal with people. What do our children see and how we respond to people who hurt us, reject us, or speak evil of us? And what do our children see in us and what do they find in us? A heart that trusts Christ to take care of us. So parent, I would again encourage you, if you see that your actions are lacking or that you know you want to be different as a parent in these areas, just thank God for the grace of showing you where He will empower change. Thank God for showing you what He's going to do in your life, because that's what, when He tells us something to do, He empowers us to do that. If the Lord's working on your heart in this and you want to be different in these areas, you would like to see a different response. You would like to see you yourself responding to other people better. You would love for your children to see that growth and pray. Thank God that He's doing that work and ask Him to empower a different response. Ask Him to empower an ability to grow in grace and obedience in that area. So I pray today's podcast has been helpful. I hope you will listen to the whole series on Christ-centered parenting and find it encouraging and applicable to your family. There will be another podcast coming. There's a number of things that I still would like to do. So until the next podcast, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Remember, it's all to the praise of His glorious grace.